inside the 11 p.m. hour, October 17th. It's a Thursday. For now, Keith McPherson on the Fan. Talking to Yankee fans until this Mets game ends. 7-2 in Citi Field. Bottom of the seventh. One out, one on. Mark Vientos gets on. Vientos has shown himself. I was just talking to Peter Schwartz about the Mets, and I'm like, well, in the series, outside of Lindor hitting that homer in game two, I mean, he hasn't been the Lindor that's carried. Alonso's resurgence has disappeared. Nimmo, I guess he's hurt. Alonso strikes out right there. So two outs. And back to the Yankees conversation. I'm having conversations on the side. Like I said, I talked to Yankee fans during the game. Shout out to Joe's McFly. Joe's didn't tweet me during the game, but that sack fly we got, I immediately said his phrase, the sack fly is underrated, and he hit me right back. And we're talking right now, and he's listening, and, you know, he's like, people are bugging, and, you know, I'm talking to a lot of people that are saying, yo, you're talking me off the ledge, or, like, you're making a lot of sense. And I'm like, yeah, there's, like, we're good. We're all right. And then he hit me with a text where, you know, I was talking to you guys. I said, it feels like we play Cleveland every other year. We're in the postseason. I think they said something like that in the broadcast. Like, we've tangled with the Cleveland Indians, Guardians every other year. We've gone to Progressive Field multiple years. And Joe said in 2017, game two, Cleveland wins it in a walk-off. The Yanks come back and win the next three. In 2022, game three, Cleveland wins it in a walk-off. The Yankees come back and win the next two. 2024, game three, Cleveland wins it in a walk-off. The script is about to write itself. The Yankees can win the next two. A gentleman's sweep. Yanks in five. 888-808-1019. Charlie's in South Hackensack on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. Nice talking to you. Real quick, my rant has to go to Aaron Boone and why he put Wells in that game and why he didn't put Wells in the game and put Trevino, who's off the bench, hasn't played in weeks, and Rusty.
Okay.
I mean, three stolen bases. They stole third twice on him.
Yeah.
Within two innings.
Yeah.
The throws weren't close. If Chisholm didn't save those two balls going in the outfield, I mean, he wasn't even close with that. And then why switch from Holmes being the middle guy and letting Weaver finish? He's been doing that the last 3 weeks. Now all of a sudden he brings Weaver in early. And it just didn't make any sense.
So going back to the Trevino thing, Wells is a rookie, and Wells has looked all of a rookie in his first maiden voyage here in this postseason. He looks like a kid. He looks like a kid that doesn't belong. You know, I was just talking to somebody about Francisco Alvarez, and like how these young catchers, like they look at the plate lost. And you needed to at least try to let Trevino, a platinum glove catcher who was an all-star 2 years ago, a veteran, get a shot at it. But we knew, going against the Guardians, right, they're going to run on Trevino. He doesn't have a strong arm. We know what happened this season with him. Okay. But, like, Trevino drove in the first run, his first at-bat. So how cold and rusty was he? You know, when we got later in the game.
He got picked off first base.
Yeah, right after that. I mean, but I think I didn't hate the idea also because everybody was calling for Stanton to be the cleanup hitter, right? So when you take Wells out, you weren't going to put Trevino there. You're going to put Trevino lower in the lineup, and then that gave you the opportunity to put Stanton there, and that almost won them the game, having Judge and Stanton back-to-back against Class A. Trevino, I don't expect to be in there tomorrow, but Wells is still struggling. The two at-bats he had, he struck out. I was just talking to Peter Schwartz about that pitch he swung at under his hands. I'm like, this guy he's completely reduced, minimized in this postseason. I don't know how he breaks
out of it. He's a baby, but he's gotten us to where we are.
No, he hasn't. He had a good 2 months. It's just like, thanks for the call, Charlie. Kyle Higashioka's in San Diego, and I don't know. I don't know what to tell you guys. But, you know, back to Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver came in for, what, a 5-out save or a 4-out save? And when you end up giving it up like he did, you go to extra innings. And who was left in a high-leverage situation? Clay Holmes. Who did you guys want to see in that situation? Marcus Stroman? Like, who did you guys expect to come in? Now, I expected it to go pretty much exactly how it did. Where's Jake Cousins been? That's actually a thought that I had. We haven't seen him in a while, and I know he was hurt. But, like, where's Jake Cousins been? He pitched in the DS. I don't know. But there was no other option. There was no other option. It is what it is. But I just knew. The tweets are there. I said, no, man, not like this. Not like this. You're going to put Clay back in position to lose the game for you the way he did 13 times this year. It was just, the writing was on the wall. So congrats to the Guardians getting their one walk-off win. It took every single break that they could possibly get in the game. Let's see how they look tomorrow with Gavin Williams on the mound. Mike is in Nutley, New Jersey. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Good to talk to you. First time caller for you. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. I just want to talk about a couple of things on the Yankee, things that weren't obvious that I did not really hear Boone explain in the post-game show. The first thing was with Trevino. How in the world can the backup catcher get caught between first and second base when the Yankees have been running the bases like clowns in the last?
It's so on brand. It pissed me off, but I'm like, this is what they all do. It don't matter if it's the backup catcher. It don't matter if it's Jazz Chisholm. It don't matter if it's Anthony Rizzo. It almost was Volpe. Volpe. I mean, if that ball didn't come out of, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just going on and on. It's like Little League. And then the second thing that wasn't explained, and this, again, this wasn't really obvious. And, you know, he's one of my favorites, Anthony Rizzo, but and, you know, obviously you saw, unless you were driving to the station, I don't know, but in the, basically, what was it, in the seventh and the eighth, or the eighth and the ninth, there were two balls hit hard to Rizzo.
Yep.
That, I'm sorry, he looked like an old man on.
Yeah.
And to
John
me,
Birdie
he
probably makes the play, but you had to get John Birdie out of there. People were screaming for John Birdie to be out of there once the lefty was off the mound in Matt Boyd.
I know, but you can't do that, because now, at least now, you have to see that, unfortunately, Rizzo gave Cleveland two extra outs. So Cleveland got 29 outs. Had the Cleveland only gotten 27 outs, who wins the game? The Yankees. You know what I mean? So it's sad, but I don't see how in the world you can have Rizzo out there defensively. You know, the guy, unfortunately, had a concussion. He's turned 37. He broke his forearm this year, and now he's got two broken fingers. How in the world can you put him out there in defense in a tight game in the playoffs when every single game matters?
Because he's Anthony Rizzo. Thanks for the call, Mike. Rizzo is 35, and he's Anthony Rizzo. He's won gold gloves. He's the one instructing John Birdie and Oswaldo Cabrera on how to play the position. He came in cold. He was not ready. Ball will find you. He was not ready. That Will Brennan double, I got to go back and look at it. But from what I remember, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe John Birdie's able to get the glove on that. And then the ball that literally bounced off him. That's why I say they needed every break. That's why I say, like, to win that game, they needed every break. The Yankees took John Birdie out to put Rizzo into the game after resting him for, like, I don't know. I remember earlier in the year or early in the day, I said, I don't know. Rizzo talked about the adrenaline and 50,000 Yankee fans pumping him up to be able to play through the pain. And I'm like, he's not going to have that same adrenaline in Ohio. Maybe they thought something about that. Maybe he's been talking about it. I don't know. The first game of this series, they had to take him out and put Oswaldo in. Because they said he was just spent. What? I don't know. Alex is in Lodi, New Jersey. Alex, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking a call. And also I want to say thanks because, like, the other guy, Chris, called in and said, you know, I tuned in and you helped me out with, you know, just like having a, you know, looking at it better. And even though I've been taking the last 2 months having a better approach, but to your point about all the guys on the internet that are ready to throw it up, you know, I kind of relate to that just because that was me in the past, right? And I think the reason is for that is because just the way the last couple of years have went, and you try not to associate it with this year, you know, you try to have a new outlook. I just think tonight hurts.
But don't get scared now. We're still up, and we still have the better team, and we're still going to the World Series, but it's not going to be given to them on a silver platter. They have to go out and win the games. They can't make stupid mistakes, the manager and the players.
Yeah, it to me, it hurts because this is I think it was the way it happened, you know, with the judge and Stanton at the back-to-back. Sure. And this is only the second time that the Yankees have lost when both of them homer. And the first time that happened was the Field of Dreams game against the White Sox. Right? You know, again, the walk-off, like, yep, after the Judge home run, the Gallo walk, the Stanton, you know, we come back, you know, we take the lead 4 runs in the ninth, and then just the way that guy just, you know.
I forget whose fault that was. Zach Britton or Andrew Heaney? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Britton, I think. But, yeah, so it brings those old feelings back, you know, and it hurts. And I just wanted to say that. But the question I have for you is, because I asked this the other night, and then I lost you right after, is Glaber. And there's a lot of people calling for his head all year. And I think a lot of people expected a little bit more because it was a contract year. I was one of the people that never gave up on him. You know, and part of it was because he's the longest tenured Yankee besides Judge. So you just got comfortable with seeing him. And I feel like the way he's played these first couple of games, I mean, he would have had 2 sac flies if Trevino didn't get, you know, tagged out at first, you know. And, you know, you can nitpick back and forth all you want, but I just want to hear, do you think
Glaber has been great?
You think he's coming back next year?
Thanks for the call, Alex. I can't talk about his job next year because job's not finished. Job finished? Pretty sure the job's not finished here. I'm pretty sure when they finish this job, there is a bigger job that we've been waiting for 15 years. But I did see MLB Network put out Gleyber Torres, since being moved into the leadoff position on August 16th, he's batting .319, .393 OBP, 38 runs. And we just came back with the Tupac song, All Eyes on Me. It's got the picture of him doing the two eyes, right? The two fingers in the eyes, looking back at the dugout. I don't know exactly what it means, but I think it means like, I'm dialed in, all eyes on me. Look at me. I'm the captain now. Glaber, I thank you. I appreciate you, because when they moved Volpe off the leadoff spot earlier in the year, or when they moved Glaber off the leadoff spot earlier in the year, he was struggling, and they put Volpe there. I remember saying Glaber's not a leadoff hitter. This team, they should have got somebody. They were actually thinking DJ could be the guy, whatever. But man, moving him back later in the year after he got benched, after he got pulled from games, after he went through all these different things, like, you know, just running into outs on the base paths, committing errors, not making routine plays, making boneheaded throws. Like, Glaber now is playing free. He's not worrying about his contract. And he has been one of the best players, if not the best player on this team. He hasn't made mistakes in the field. He's leading off every day. Like, just how this game started today. What do you have, an 8-pitch walk? Gleyber Torres, man, I can admit when I'm wrong. This mic tells the truth. And I know I said I did not want him on the postseason roster this season when he was like leading the league in errors, because I said I lose sleep at night thinking about the costly error this guy's going to make to cost us a game. So far, very good, Gleyber Torres. I appreciate you. 888-808-1019. Emmanuel is down in Orlando, Florida. You got it.
What's up, boss? I got two things I want to say. First of all, I agree with you on Glaber, on the Glaber subject, mainly because Gleyber Torres has been a bit shaky with the errors, but Gleyber Torres has been the main reason why we're in game.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, the Yankees are the only person, are the only people that can get in the Yankees' way. The Yankees have made critical errors, not even on when it comes to the fielding, we made plenty of errors. And when it comes to base running, we just made too many errors. And I think that we've been bailed out a lot. Like, the Royal Series shouldn't have went on as long as it did. I think we kicking ourselves in our own rear end. But
the Royal Series, yeah, the Royals won a game. And even in this series, the Guardians won a game. I'm not expecting anybody to sweep. It's not the wild card round, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know that. But I can say that the Yankees haven't been playing their best baseball.
Correct.
This has been decent. And I think we're good. Like, I think we're ramping up for the World Series. But I think it's mainly about staying focused. We got a lot of players that are injured. But injuries is common nowadays. You know, everybody's hurt, you know, so it's not really an excuse of
at this point in the season, Everybody's banged up. Thanks for the call, Emmanuel. I think I was hearing something about maybe Mendoza saying that, like, you know, like the Mets are either running out of gas or they're exhausted. Yeah. Yeah, it's August 17th. It's August 17th. Everybody, nobody is completely healthy. The Yankees actually are more healthy than they've been. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been in postseasons where it's like, oh, well, this guy we're completely missing. This guy is out. Or DJ can't play. Andrew Benintendi is unavailable. Matt Carpenter broke his foot. He's not the same. Edwin Encarnacion had a hit by pitch. He's not the same. Gary Sanchez is hurt. He's not the same. But, like, for the most part, all these guys are here except DJ, who you didn't want here anyway. All these pitchers are available except, I don't know, Nestor, Stroman. We'll see. When we come back, we'll talk more about the matchup with Gavin Williams, 25-year-old Gavin Williams, who's 6'6", 250, going to be on the mound for the Guardians tomorrow against young Luis Gil, Gil-matic, king of the heel. And I got to do a Casamigos big shot of the night. I guess I'll do that when we come back, but I'm not happy to give it out in a losing effort, but it does have to be done, and I know who I'm giving that to. So stay with us. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. The Casamigos big shot of the night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And I usually don't like to pull up for losers, but I don't even care about that loss. It is what it is. That was a 10-inning game of inches. You know, we watched the game. I got to give it to All Rise. Number 99, Aaron Judge. He's unlocked. He's back. And against Emmanuel Clase, right, with the whole Yankee universe watching, Aaron Judge, with two strikes and two outs, connects on a ball that he himself said, I didn't even think it was high enough. But it was high enough. It was far enough. It was gone enough. A Judgian blast. And Judge ties the game with a 356-foot homer that had all of us thinking, wow, yeah, this might be over. Like, they might be a game away from going back to the World Series. Well, that two-run shot tied the game, and Stanton came up to give him a one-run lead, but it ended up not being enough. And that's baseball, Susan. 888-808-1019. Whew. It is 10-2 out in Flushing as the Dodgers are flushing the Mets season. And I know there's about to be an incoming of Mets calls once we get to the other side of 12 o'clock. So let me say this about the pitching matchup tomorrow, and then I'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. It's all Yankee fans on the line. It's Gavin Williams versus Luis Gil. Who is Gavin Williams? No one really knows or cares. I said he's 6'5", 6'6", 250. He's a 25-year-old kid. The Yankees faced him on August 22nd. He went 4 1/3. He gave up 4 hits, 3 runs, a homer. He walked 4 guys. I probably was at that game. Actually, let me go back and look. This is a guy that had a 4.86 ERA. This is not a guy that the Yankees need to help out, that the Yankees need to just be swinging at anything. They need to have good at-bats right away. They need to score right away as they've been, right? Get a run across in the first inning, but, like, smack this guy right away. Don't give them any hope, right? Momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. Well, here comes Luis Gil. Luis Gil was last on the mound back in, I don't even know, the last homestand. It was that Saturday. I think that was, I definitely went to that game, the 28th, and he was terrible. And it rained, but in that game, Luis Gil goes out there, his last start of this season that we all thought he could be Rookie of the Year, he could be a Cy Young candidate, maybe start for the American League in the All-Star game. He goes 5 2/3, gives up 6 hits, 6 earned runs, walks 1, strikes out 5, but gives up 4 homers. And the Yankees would go on to lose that game, and that's the last that we've seen of Luis Gil. So that's a long time, man. That's a long time. 3 days in September plus 17 days here in October. This guy hasn't pitched in almost 3 weeks, 20 days. So the Yankees have to pick him up. The Yankees have to score runs. The Yankees have to take the pressure off of him to not have to go out there and be perfect. We know he's had issues with his command, his control, walking guys. But we also know he has electric stuff. We also know when he fills up the zone, he strikes guys out, and he can look as dominant as anyone. So we'll see. 888-808-1019, Luis Gil versus Gavin Williams, game four coming up, and it's an 808 nighttime game, and they're opening up the big side of Billy's. I talked to the owner, Joey, today. They were only going to open up the restaurant side with the booths and, you know, the side where you eat on 161st. Now the big side's going to be open. They're going to open up a bar. We'll have the big screen. So I'll see you guys there for game four tomorrow night. Rob is in Hartsdale. Rob, you're on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith? Big fan. Love listening to you. You know, listen, Cleveland got us tonight, you know. Cleveland got us. I'm not really even mad about that. You know, Luke was due. He's been lights out for us. He was due to give one, you know, give one up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what I got a little annoyed about tonight is I'm listening to our beloved John and Susan call the game, and, you know, we are one out away from taking a commanding 3-0 lead. And then Susan's talking about how Judge's home run is compared to Sandy Alomar's of 1997 and how it landed in the same spot. Not 30 seconds later, you got that big blue double and you got that big blast and the game is tied. I'm like, Susan, no, it's not her fault. But I'm just like, no, not right there. You know, I guess you could say I'm a little superstitious, but,
sure.
You know,
announcers, you know, jinx, can't predict baseball. That's baseball, Susan.
That exactly. Couldn't have said it any better, Keith. Love listening to you, and shout out, man. All the best, team.
Thanks for the call, Rob. Yeah, I was listening, but I heard John call Judge's homer amazing. I don't know. I'm biased. I love John, and like John was waiting, and when he did know it was out, he hit him with the Judgeian blast, and then I listened to him call Stanton. Judge, Aaron Judge, and John Carlos Stanton have gone back to back and a belly to belly. Connor, if we have those cuts, let's cue them up. That's the good that you take from this game. That the two guys in the middle of the order that hadn't done it, I think Judge was 0-for-3 with two strikeouts. There was a point where, you know, the 1-through-6 hitters, the Yankees had three hits and they didn't come from the 1-through-6 hitters. So late in the game, those guys had to wake up and they did. They did. Let's play John's call of Giancarlo and that homer.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
1-2. Swung on and hit in the air to center field and deep. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone! Stanton and Judge have hit home runs, a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, and the Yankees take the lead. Giancarlo, no si può stopparlo. He homers, and he and Judge hit him back-to-back, and the Yankees now take a 4-3 lead.
It went from the best of times to the worst of times, and baseball rip your heart out like that. I had people calling my phone, texting my phone. I kept telling them, chill. After the game, some of my boys are listening right now. What did I tell y'all? Relax, yo. Especially because we're not in the Bronx. They get last licks, right? They get to come up and take the game. Like, chill, chill. And you know what? I took some calls, and some of you were mad about Luke Weaver being in that game Tuesday, and people were talking about showing him too much. And I think I took a call where I was like, he's got two pitches. He's throwing the fastball. He's throwing the changeup. What is there to show? Well, clearly, they were ready for it. 888-808-1019. Dan in Long Beach. Out in Long Beach.
Yeah, what's up, Keith?
You know, talking.
Hey, yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting a W in this game, but most thing I'm most happy about, Judge connecting like that, love to see it. And now this matchup going forward, Luis looks way better than he did. And that 25-year-old kid that's an absolute behemoth, I think we'll be okay. Austin Wells got hits off him. So that Trevino-Wells situation, I think we got to go with Wells in this one. What about you? What do you think?
Wells will be back, and I think they gave him obviously the off day, and they gave him most of this game tonight. He's got a, there. We have no other options. Kyle Higashioka is eliminated. Gary Sanchez is nowhere around here. Ben Rice caught a little bit against Tampa earlier in the year. He was never an option. Thanks for the call, Dan. It is what it is. Maybe they drop him in the lineup now. Maybe we keep Judge and Stan at 3-4. I'm fine with that. Jazz Chisholm. Jazz, bro, talk the talk and walk the walk, bro. Like, Jazz has not been good enough for a guy that has been talking a ton. Jazz has not been good enough. It's like his plate discipline, his approach is not good enough. This is a guy that should be hitting home runs. This should be a guy that's getting on base and using his speed. And it's like he's looking for walks. Or, man, I wish he was able to beat out that play that, you know, Naylor was, you know, off the bag. Like, we need it. And they moved him up. And I was just like, he shouldn't be getting more at bats. But it is what it is, man. This is the team. They have more than enough to beat the Guardians. I never thought they were going to sweep the Guardians. I didn't think they were going to sweep the Royals. Right? I respect opponents. I don't think that guys just, like, end up here because of, the Guardians won games. They won their division. Those guys get paid millions of dollars, too. Those guys were the best baseball players in their town. They were able to scratch and claw and win a game in 10 innings to keep their season alive. Literally. Like, a fight. That's a must-win game to keep their season going, right? That if you lose that game, you have the chance to get eliminated tomorrow. They're not getting eliminated tomorrow. They fight on. But I still think it's Yanks in 5 or 6. Kyle is in West Orange, New Jersey, next up on the Fan. What's up, Kyle? Kyle, your phone in your pocket? Let's see. Tim down in Nashville, Tennessee. You got it because Kyle is fumbling around.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Love the show. First time, short time, man. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Good, man. It was a great baseball game as a whole. You know, can't write a better story for Cleveland tonight. But I just want to talk about, Waldo has shown a pretty decent glove at first base. And at the beginning of the season, when the energy was that high, he was a big bat, man. So I was just wondering, why didn't Boone give him that opportunity in the playoffs with that same energy he was in play, given those two factors?
Yeah, I mean, he played two games against the Royals, and they won those two games. And then he came in that first game of this series to relieve Rizzo. I always use the phrase, they never loved him. We love him as fans. We see the spark that he plays with, the flair that he has, how he can break a game open. And, you know, we think the world of the kid. But he also hits from the left side of the plate. You're going against the lefty in Matthew Boyd today, so they went righty heavy, and they went with John Birdie. Also, John Birdie's 34 and a veteran who has played a lot more than young Oswaldo has. And I honestly think John Birdie has been good, where he earned that. Like, I give that to him. He's made some plays. He made some mistakes today, but he also made some plays. That one scoop he had, that ball was coming in hot off a bounce early in the game. Yeah, I just think that they lean towards veterans and guys with experience. And Oswaldo, now that Rizzo is back in this series, I don't expect to see Oswaldo. I didn't even expect to see him that first game, but Rizzo was exhausted or something.
Yeah, I was thinking that, like, the Mendy mentality of, like, that gut feeling, you know, whenever, you know, you see Waldo early in the season with that kind of energy. And then, like, why not just give him a shot?
You see, like, they don't have any spreadsheets or data to quantify that, you know? So, like, there's no analytics that say, you know, that's what we see with our eye test as fans. Thanks for the call, Tim. There's no way to quantify clutch right? I had Oswaldo on the Fan, and I literally told him, I'm like, earlier in this year, you were the guy that would break the game open. When the game got stagnant, you would hit a home run or make a play or you know, remember this guy scoring from second base against the White Sox on a, you know, sack fly, I think it was. Like, this guy does stuff like that in the game. Like, he's a heads-up player. He's a pelotero. But the Yankees, I don't think when they go into their meetings, I don't think there's enough on paper for them to say, yeah, go to Oswaldo. It's just something that happens in game. I expect to see Rizzo get the start tomorrow. I expect to see Wells get the start tomorrow. And they got to play better. They got to wake up and play better. The Yankees have to play better. They played better in spots tonight, but ultimately not a good game again, and they got. And it took all of that. It took 10 innings and heroics from the Guardians to get a win. So here we go. 888-808-1019. As they're showing Noel's homer in the Met game, we're in the ninth inning. So here come the Met fans. Met fans call in as well. It's not a great night for New York baseball, but it is the most wonderful time. Tis the postseason. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB. And the New York Mets are down to their final out. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Right back at it. I don't know what to say about this. Like, the Dodgers have scored so many runs. Is it 9, 12, 20, 30 runs? 30 runs in 4 games? I mean, they are the Dodgers. And that's it. That's the final out. Starling Marte pops up in foul territory. Max Muncy runs it down. And the Dodgers go up 3-1 in the series. They're the second team with 3 wins by 8 or more runs in a single postseason series. That was in 1960. The World Series that the Yankees won? That's why I just said they scored 30 runs in these 4 games. Like, that's insane. In postseason baseball, where we see games won 3-1, 4-2. 888-808-1019. Let me get the Yankee fans up out of the way, and we'll make way for Grimace Nation. Tom is down in Georgia. Tom, you're on the Fan.
Keith, hey. You are the man.
Thanks.
I listen to you at night. I'm a trucker. I'm on these roads. And I just want to tell you this. I'm a Jersey Shore guy myself.
Okay.
I grew up, I'm in Ocean County.
Yeah.
Lakewood Pinders.
Yes,
Lakewood,
sir.
Lakewood Pinders. I played baseball for them back in the day.
I got some homies that played over there. Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that, right?
Mm-hmm. I've been all over
Yankee
there.
Fan. I'm way old. I'm a little bit older than you. But I have to tell you one little quick story. And you'll probably appreciate this. Monmouth Mall. I was there in 1974 when Thurman Munson showed up there. I got 2 autographs of him.
Thurman Munson autograph. Came to the Monmouth Mall?
Yes, sir. Monmouth Mall. I'll never forget it. Never. And I still have the 2 little 8x10 black and whites. And I still have it. I still keep it with me. I mean, I'm telling you.
I just can't imagine
any
that.
Any old timer.
Now Monmouth Mall is closing. They're knocking it down and turning it into like apartments.
Really?
And like, yeah, it's going to be like a... like condos and apartments for the community or something.
Yeah. So my main point, and you're very level-headed about this whole Yankee game. I just want to say, I mean, you know, the ups and downs of a season. I listen to all 162 games, either I watch it on the app or whatever. Listen, today we were, as baseball fans, we were treated to a great baseball playoff game. Look at it that way. I mean, it was a gut punch, but this is baseball. Got to appreciate it. And one other thing now, I just want to go back to yesterday, you know, because I listen to all kinds of sports shows. You know, you go on to like First Take, our old friend Doggy. You know, he was so disrespecting the Guardians, calling them a JV team.
Yeah, no.
I mean, like the Yankees didn't belong on the same field with them. I mean, that annoyed me as a Yankee fan, as a baseball fan.
Yeah.
If I were a Guardian fan, I would be annoyed by that, and I would feel disrespected. And you know what? Karma is a you-know-what. And I feel the baseball gods gave this to the Guardians, and
yeah.
I tip my hat.
Yeah.
I tip my hat. Keith, I love you. I listen to you all the time. You're a super cool dude. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Tom. And Yeah, I didn't go that far. Even the night that I was on, I went to the stadium. They won game two. And I said, I didn't know how to feel. Because, like, going up 2-0 is amazing. And feeling like you're two wins away from going back to the World Series and it had been 15 years, is it's such a good feeling, but job's not finished. I was like, don't overthink it. I'm going back to my tweet. I said, I don't know how to feel. I'm not going to overthink it. It feels good, but job's not finished. On to Cleveland. Like, but then I was hearing hosts like saying that the Guardians were a JV team. Hearing other people's takes about how, these are the New York Yankees. You're supposed to feel like you're going to sweep these guys. Host saying that we were going to sweep them. And I'm just like, no. 20 years ago, I was a 16-year-old kid in Ocean High School. And the Yankees went up 3-0 in the American League Championship Series. And then they left the door open. And they ended up losing 4 in a row to the team that I hated the most at that time, way before I ever cared about the Houston Astros. And when it actually went down, I didn't even want to go to school. I didn't even want to go on with the next day. I was paralyzed. Talk about when you find out Santa Claus is not real. That's when I was like, wait, yo, that can happen? The Yankees could lose like that? And ever since, I've just never started to count my eggs before they hatch. I've never gone so far as to think, oh, it's in the bag. They tried to say that to Aaron Boone in the post game today. And he's like, this is postseason baseball, man. What are y'all talking about? Nothing is done until it's done. Even tonight, it ain't over until it's over. As my boy Zeke is sending me a video of his 6-year-old son crying as the Yankees are struggling, losing 3-1, and I told him, tell him Uncle Keith said it ain't over. And then he puts him to bed, and then Judge and Stanton go back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, and he's got to go upstairs to tell his son, hey, we're winning. They're up. And then, you know, he cries himself to sleep, wakes up and gets that news. He goes to sleep. He's going to wake up in the morning and find out they lost. Good. You got to lose to know how to win. Get humbled. Get checked in life and see how you respond. Let's see how the Yankees respond. Let's see how the Mets respond. If this is a miracle Mets team, if this is a make-it-happen Mets team, if it wasn't fate, it wasn't luck, it was grimace, boy, do we need you now. Or we'll just take a quarter pounder with cheese. 888-808-1019. I'll say good morning on the other side. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.